So, Elna, how the hell are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just happy to get up in the mornings. I'm so old now.
How old are you? You're not old. Come on.
Ooh, I've known you since you were a small boy. Remember, ask your mama change your diapers.
No, you did not.
A groot Don't man. Lie.
You never changed my diapers. I tell you when I met you. 2000.
Yes.
Yeah. 2000. You came in. I was still at 702.
And I used to work with Nolene before she was famous.
That's right. And now look at her. Nolene with that Hausfrau show. Have you been on there with her?
Often. When the ratings go down, then they let's do some smut.
And they get you on.
And then they get they get Gigi. They get it's the same lineup.
It's an interesting thing. Like the sex industry in this country, when I say the sex industry, I mean like strip clubs and that kind. It's a very closed business. There are only a few players. And now that Lolly's dead, there are even less.
That's true. But I mean, the place is still going. But often places are personality driven. So I don't know how long it's going to
stay the
continue.
Same. Yeah. Might change again.
Things, yeah, might.
Now, listen, you're a clinical sexologist. You've been advising people on sexual matters for a long time, and you've helped loads and loads of people. I couldn't help noticing that you just sit anywhere for long enough, and people come up to you and start asking you. Look, people like Michael, but they come up and they start asking you questions.
About their friends.
Well, it's always a friend.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a friend who has a misshapen, bent, crooked penis. What should he do? And then what you know straight away is that, obviously, he's asking for himself.
Because friends don't know that, because it's very intricate, very, very specific detail. You know, you don't discuss penis size with your friends, actually.
No. Well,
you do.
There's always competition, like you kind of want to figure out where you are in the pecking order, especially when you're a teenager.
Men, though, but women don't. When we speak in hushed voices, they'll speak in my friend.
Rubbish. I've heard women talking about...
But they were drunk.
About men. They talk about men all the time, about... Oh, no, he's enormous, or he's very small, or he doesn't satisfy me, or whatever. I've heard that. They thought I didn't hear them, but I heard that. You know what I mean. Yeah, it happens.
You know, I think now that I am so old, people feel they can talk to me a lot more because I understand. I've become Dr. Ruth. You know, Dr. Ruth was in the country.
And Dr. Ruth was never a threat, so people would talk to her because she was this little old lady, and you thought, oh, well, she can only give me good advice. Well, she's got no agenda.
See, I'm this big old lady because, you know, Dr. Ruth is 4'7".
She's extraordinarily small.
Does that make her a dwarf or a midget?
No, she's neither.
She's just small.
She's just small, yeah.
Small. Yeah, because dwarfs are different things.
Dwarfs are different proportions. Midgets are normal proportions, but very small.
Small.
Yeah. Well, now, listen, let's talk about you for a second because you do some interesting work. You do, among other things, you advise all kinds of women, including strippers and hookers, about their sexual health. What is your most asked question in the sex workers' trade? If you have five hookers a day coming to you, which is more than even Damon and I at our worst, if you have five hookers coming to you, what is the average question that they'll ask?
Am I normal?
What does that mean?
Am I normal? Whatever. The sentence will start with blah, 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 but end with am I normal? So we all just want to be normal. That's really what I want to say.
Really?
I see 6 men a day. I give 17 blowjobs, blah, 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 whatever. Is that normal?
Hmm.
Yeah.
And what's your answer to them? That nobody's normal. Everybody's different.
So I'd rather say, are you okay with that? You spit, you swallow. It's very fattening. You know, protein. I know the whole Tim Noakes thing at the moment. Low carbs, high fats.
This is interesting. You shouldn't be doing that, ladies.
Atkins is low carbs, high protein.
Mm.
And so semen is protein.
Right. There's nothing else.
So you just have to do low carbs and semen then. And then you're on the Atkins diet.
But it's not. No. Would you advise that women
should? Oh, no. Spit. You know, unless you're into oysters and raw eggs.
Oh, is it all right that I can tell you that I'm disgusted by the fact that...
Then I'm leaving right now.
No, you asked me to come here now.
I'm disgusted.
Not you. I'm saying I'm disgusted by, like, I don't like body fluids, even my own.
He's asking if he's normal.
No, I'm not asking if I'm normal. I think it's...
See, there comes the question.
Some people...
No, but it's cool because some people don't like body fluids. No, but it's my job.
I'm not a fan.
Just like people sniff. We have to sniff. It's part of when you examine a woman, you have to do what's called the whiff test.
Right, you smell.
Take your glove, you
What's
you,
going
you
on
whiff.
Down there?
And people say, but what do you smell? Because if I'm a wine taster, I smell. You know wine tasters?
Oh, they taste
berries, orange blossoms.
Burnt oak, all kinds of things. Yeah. Right.
I just, vaginas smell like vaginas. They're not vanilla. They're not chocolate flavor. They Vaginas has a vagina smell.
But women are very self-conscious about their smell.
I know, and it's a whole industry built around it. Washing, and there's always Zambak in the picture. Do you know that?
Zambak?
Zambak, what is that? I don't know. Well, really? I don't know, but every household in this country has Zambak, Dawn, Checkers, and Drama. Do you know that?
Every household.
Every single household.
Let's go through
that
again.
Yeah, well, it might be called something
Zambak,
else.
Zambak, yeah. Checkers.
Checkers, an Ariel nowadays, thanks to Nolene, Ariel. But there's certain things. It might not be Zambak. It might be Vicks,
yeah.
But we call it Zambak.
Okay.
You know, if you've got like a pimple or something, your granny says, put Zambak on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Some kind of eucalyptus balm.
Yeah.
Basically. And they use this on all their body parts.
Yeah.
Women and men.
And if your mother says, go and buy me Rama, she might actually mean come home with, nowadays, unsalted butter.
Mm.
Do you know this Tim Noakes thing has brought in a whole new, your kitchen list looks very different.
Do you believe in this Tim Noakes thing? I mean, this is a complete tangent, but...
Well, what I tell you, what's happened is cauliflowers are no longer R5. They are now R30. So remember in Santon, if you say diet, we all rush.
Oh, really? So
in the whole Tim Noakes thing,
huh?
You make cauliflower rice.
So it's actually affected the market.
It has. Well, it has where I live. I live by that new Pick and Pay, you know, Corner William Republic. I'm going to advertise for Pick and Pay this morning.
You don't have to give your address.
I know, but I'm like next door there down by the river.
Tell me quickly, with young people, do you feel like attitudes are changing?
Not at all. Teenage pregnancies are still with us.
No. What I mean is the attitudes to sex, because people are a lot more, they're more willing to talk about stuff now than they ever were in previous generations. You know, sex was always considered a dirty thing, and it was embarrassing to discuss, and you never talked about problems with your genitals or questions about oral sex or, you know, every kid grows up knowing what a condom is now. That wasn't always the case.
Well, now they don't have to ask the questions anymore because they've already got the answers. Or they think they have because Google...
No, let's not talk about misinformation. But the attitude to sex is a lot healthier than it's been.
No, I don't think it's healthier.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
Because there's far more multiple partners and sex starting at a much younger age, so... And because of that, you see a lot more STDs, which, of course, is a good thing because everybody keeps everybody in business.
Explain.
Well, if you have STDs, you have to come see me, and then you see me, and then I have business, and then I send you to
business.
The social worker,
okay.
And then the social worker gets business, and then adoption gets business or abortion gets business, and so there's a lot more business. And that's sad, actually.
Well, yeah, but for you, it's bread and butter.
Yeah, but I want to retire now.
Well, listen, let's not get into what you want to do. I'm asking you about being a clinical sexologist.
Yeah, and the sad part is we're only 6 in the country, and it's not really a job that people want to do.
No, there are very few people. I can't imagine the huge recruitments.
No, because we have to leave the country to go and study in another country, which right now I don't even know what the dollar exchange is.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what is the STD that most people come to you with?
Most people just panic, because right now men have come back from Brazil. It's such a good time over there. So now we guilt confess. It's almost like forgive me, Father, because I've sinned.
Are these wealthy, middle and upper class men who've got money, who went to Brazil for the World Cup? Maybe
not
did
just
some...
all. A lot of got incentives. They went over there because their company said, you're such a good salesman. Let's go to Brazil. So, and you know what happens.
What happens? Tell us.
Well, people get drunk and then the soccer, maybe they're happy about it. Maybe they're sad about it. And then they pick up maybe men that look like women. They're not always sure. If
oh,
it was,
trannies.
Yes,
yeah.
They pick up all sorts of people, and they're not always sure if they had sex or didn't have sex. So they might as well just confess, and let's check for everything. We check for everything.
Now, when you say check for everything, because every year I go for a checkup with my GP, and we do blood tests, and I don't necessarily check especially for STDs, but it's one of the things on the list. I check for allergies. I do the whole thing, right? And I'm absolutely methodical about it. Like, I'm very, very careful.
It's
and for
good.
Me, yeah, I think you have to. You need to know what's going on in your body, and you need to keep tabs on things. High blood pressure, cholesterol, glucose, all that kind of crap. And then the one that makes me nervous every time is the HIV test. Even though I'm not necessarily a high-risk kind of candidate for that, I'm always nervous when I know that those results are coming.
It's a bit like when I travel. I'm always nervous that my son left some dope in my luggage. And we don't talk about that.
Yeah,
now you don't talk. There's stuff in your house you don't talk about.
Yeah.
We that family. Because I'm like, is she a dagaroker of is she any? And you either are or you're not. So when I travel,
this is interesting.
That's like,
you talk about everything. Like
yeah, but all families.
And,
no, you don't talk to your no, you
and
don't
herpes
no. You're my family. You know, like I'm still very Afrikaans. And I come from the Weserand of.
So conservative. So,
ooh, I'm square. Can you see I'm square?
But how do you reconcile that? Because
but
when you
it's my job, it's not me. It's just my job. I discovered how to do it in a infotaining way. Is that the right word?
Yeah, information I suppose it is.
Entertaining. Because it's not a joke, though I use humor as a metaphor when I work.
No, sure.
But it's very serious stuff, actually.
In this country, sex needs to be taken more seriously.
Mm. A lot
people,
more.
People think it's just something fun and dirty and naughty, and it's a very serious thing. And in
so
this country, it can be your number one, it can be the biggest threat to your health and safety, actually.
So everybody worries about HIV, but I call it the big seven.
What are the big seven?
So it's HIV, herpes, syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, HPV for women, and hepatitis B for men who have sex with men. And then there's another 20, there's 26 STDs, but 6,000 skin diseases.
Wow.
So sometimes you've just got to itch in a thing, because we all have.
Yeah.
But if it's down there.
You must check it out.
People are hysterical.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like, because you didn't shave in the right direction.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah, and now you've got a lump there, and people just like, when it's just a skin disease. So a lot of women have, because I brought the genitals along, just
yes,
maybe, and you can talk about it.
Elna's got this thing in front of her, which is actually a cross section in 3D of a woman's pelvic area. So it includes, let me point and you tell me if I'm right. Okay, let's go through this here.
Okay.
That is the pubic symphysis, the bone, right, over the front of the pubic region, that.
Yes,
that's
sorry,
the bone.
Let me put my glasses on.
All right, this is the bladder. This is the bladder here.
Oh, you know what? You had matric biology.
No,
and
listen,
then you read
a
lot.
I know my stuff
good.
Here.
Good.
This is the vagina.
Very good.
This is the cervix.
That's the cervix there.
There's the cervix. Sorry, this is the
inside of the lining of the uterus.
Uterus, that's
very
correct.
Good. Very
and
good.
That is the fallopian tube,
yes,
which goes to the ovary.
Ovaries, fantastic. Now, very few people know that.
Then this is the anus.
Anus, yes.
That's the rectal muscle.
Yes.
And then that's obviously the beginning of the large intestine.
Yes.
And then over here, you've got the back end of the pubic bone.
La, 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 la.
Am I right?
That's unbelievable. 100%.
When it comes to female anatomy, I know my
stuff. Now, women don't even know that.
Oh,
women
well,
don't
that's
even
disgusting.
Know
that. I mean, if I were a woman, I would not leave home. I'd sit there with a mirror for hours upon hours upon hours.
I wish
hours.
They would tell them to do that. Where's that? It's like that hole you described just now in Siberia.
Yeah.
Siberia.
It's this massive mystery to a lot of
it's
people.
It's like Bermuda Triangle. People don't talk about it. Nobody comes back. You go there, you never come back. It's like,
I watched a YouTube video recently of women who've seen their vaginas for the first time.
Horrified.
And it was a guy who set up a little four-sided tent of curtains.
Yes.
And gave them a hand mirror and filmed their reactions to looking at their vaginas for the first time. And a lot of them were so surprised that it looked normal because it doesn't feel normal to them.
But is it true that most women hate their vaginas? They don't like how they look, like we have issues with our vaginas.
It's like, look, guys are always going to wonder if their penis is the right penis. You know, if it's got to be, to them, it's got to be the best one. Because we're competitive about everything. And with women, they're extremely self-conscious about it must look appealing, it must smell appealing, it must be perfect. Like there's a golden standard, and there isn't. They're all different.
Like faces, they're all different.
They're all different.
And actually,
I've seen a lot of vaginas. They're all different, right?
No, but they're vulvas. First the vulvas, not
they're
a
outside.
Vulvo.
That's what I'm talking about. The
vulva.
Whole
thing.
Yeah.
So
the labia majora, the labia minora. I know this stuff, right?
I can retire, Gareth. You can take right over from me. You
I know
just,
this.
Like,
this is
there.
Something I care about.
Because that's what I do half the day is I just explain. I explain anatomy the whole day.
All right, so a lot of women are self-conscious about this. What is your advice to women? Just chill out? Stop being
just
so...
Just relax. Yeah. I actually got a wonderful book at home. Oh, I think it's wonderful. And it just has a large bunch of pictures of different... It's just like different faces. So it's just different vulvas. And just look. That's because they look the same, except it's like the nose sits on the forehead. So the clitoris sits here on the forehead. High cheekbones is the labia majora. Mm-hmm. And then the entrance is like a mouth.
The mouth itself, yeah.
Big. And then hair. It all has hair around it. Mm. But you know, there's this thing about women and hair. Don't we just, if it's not the hair on our heads, it's like down there.
Yeah.
Must be off.
It's got to go everywhere else on your body.
No,
what is your suggestion there? Because it's very en vogue at the moment. Very few women want to be like in the 70s.
No. It's changed. It's now become fashionable for women to have a bit of vagina hair.
A little bit, like a brush cut look.
Men are asking for it back.
Are we talking about on top?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't think men want to actually have that sort of little child look.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, some do, but that's pathology.
Okay.
But just be covered. And maybe for us, we don't feel that naked.
Right.
And then women say, but what is he looking at? You know, he wants to look at me.
Mm.
And so what is he going to see? So most women, when they see genitals, will see it on porn. And the women on porn have usually been genitally altered. They've had vaginal rejuvenation. It's a whole industry.
You mean they've been lying to me the whole time?
Yes. They've gone for surgery. You'd not watch Dr. 90210?
They've been lying to me?
They've been lying.
Oh.
So there's a lot of trimming and cutting taking place as well. Women say their labia are too big. It's because of childhood masturbation. Maybe they stretched it too long.
Is that possible? That's not true.
No, it's not. It's just like genetic, you know, it's like ears.
With the wizard sleeves, the big hangy. So would you suggest women who are uncomfortable about that get their the vaginal rejuvenation?
You know what? It depends on your job, I think. If you're a cyclist, it can get very uncomfortable. Triathletes, sometimes swimmers, whatever.
They're all bunched up in there, right?
Yes, and it can be uncomfortable. And I think it's just a body part that you can alter. Just like the man phoned and said the dentist does the Botox, which, by the way, is actually the right person to do your Botox. Because the dentist has studied every single muscle in your face. Because not every GP has, but everybody's doing Botox. I don't want my eye hanging. You know, like now I've got no wrinkles, but my eye's hanging.
Oh, like you've had a stroke.
Yeah. So it is important if you're going to do Botox. Now, we put Botox in vaginas.
Why?
Really? Where do you do that?
What does it do?
So in unconsummated marriages. Now, some of you might not be familiar with the word unconsummated.
That means that you have not yet had sex with the person you're married to.
Very good. And you can annul that marriage.
Yes.
But usually they don't. And the longest I've seen is 18 years. 18 years, nada, nuts, nothing.
Surely there's something wrong there.
Well, it's usually there's a very strong religious component, or they just don't know.
But
he doesn't know and she doesn't know.
Okay, let's put the religious component aside. It's not healthy to have been married to someone for 18 years and you've never had coitus. That's not right.
Well, in the past, people didn't know. So thanks to the media, thanks to internet, people now know there's places they can go to. But a lot of people live in shame and they just don't talk about it.
I feel so bad for people like that. I really do.
I'm very proud of one of my patients. She, in this year, I think it was February's edition of a magazine, she wrote about her unconsummated marriage. And this, we need to talk about it. So, back
Christian,
to why we use
Muslim,
Botox.
Jew?
Anything.
What are we talking about? I want to know.
You name it.
Tell me what kind of this woman. What was she? Christian, Muslim, Jew? It wouldn't be a Buddhist. It wouldn't be a Shintoist. And it wouldn't be a Taoist, because they're very cool about their genitals. It's just the monotheists that seem to have a problem in that area.
I can't even remember.
Saying, you know, I'm guessing Muslim.
Oh, very good. It's just because it's Ramadan. We'll go with
there
that
go.
For now.
What does the Botox do?
So Botox relaxes muscles.
Yes.
So it will relax the vaginal muscles. Because really what it is, it's an involuntary spasm.
Mm-hmm.
So the man sort of hits a brick wall. But there is a big fear component to this as well. You know, I don't know what your mother taught me, but mine didn't even speak about it. It was like, again.
My parents gave me a book. And they said, if you have any questions, come.
Yeah,
and you, of course, did.
Obviously, I didn't have questions.
Yeah. But some people, there's a lot of fear that's put into kids. Let's rather just, instead of doing the birds and bees, let's do the vultures and the hornet story. it's like bad. These are like little bumblebees. Fear. Yeah.
Fear is a big problem. In South Africa, what is the most common STD that people are concerned about? What is chlamydia? Tell me what that is.
It's a bacterial infection. It affects the fallopian tubes in women.
Mm-hmm.
Silent.
So it's right up in there.
It goes right up in there. And so the problem for women, will be infertility ultimately. So if you're going to do a test.
What do you have to do? Antibiotics?
You do antibiotics. Actually very simple. But a lot of women actually get treated because in the first world, we have antibiotics all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're coughing, have some antibiotics. Yeah. Or you got flu.
So we develop resistance.
But we also don't know we've treated our chlamydia.
Oh, right.
So often we'll know they've had chlamydia because antibodies. It's like having measles as a child. We know, oh, you got measles antibodies. So we see the chlamydia antibodies. So I think it's very important. You do your pap smear once a year and you just – so not that you have to do it because you're not a woman.
Right.
But – add the chlamydia to those tests as well.
Would you suggest that a woman goes for this once a year?
Yeah.
It's part more than of that's the, unnecessary.
So they don't test for chlamydia on a normal pap
unless you ask. Or unless you live in the UK.
So you've got to request that.
You've got to request it. Yeah.
Okay.
Herpes is almost a useless test to do because 95% of the population test positive for herpes 1. Fever blisters.
That's oral or genital?
Oral, oral. Yeah, okay. So, because please, if you have children, don't kiss them on their mouths. Small boy.
Michael.
Looking for a Ben
Michael,
10.
Michael,
I can't really see well, but
come here to
the
microphone.
He does look like Ben 10 a
like
little
a Ben 10.
Yeah,
you know, Ben 10 is a very in thing to do nowadays. Is that pathology? Have I got pathology in my old age?
No, a lot of women are into this whole Ben 10 thing.
Yeah.
Michael,
very expensive.
Elna's got some very important advice for you, and you should listen to this because it might help you. And this is good advice for anybody, by the way. We're not picking on him. It's something that everybody should be listening to.
But I think the ideal would be...
No, tell him your advice first.
Eat your vegetables. It's always a very good thing. Brush your teeth twice a day. Floss as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Just use Dove on your genitals. It's soft. Not Protex. Not Dettol. Not... What is other really...
Should you moisturize in that area?
You know what? It's skin. And 80% of the body's skin. You know?
It's the biggest organ we have.
Absolutely. So we need to love it. Self-love is
very
important.
Okay, but you were talking about herpes. That's why you called him.
Oh, yeah. Just be very careful on that date. I know you've been in a sort of – he did admit to me he's been in a dry spell now for a week.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
week.
So long.
All week.
For him, that's tremendously long.
But not anymore.
So just be very careful. Mouths are filthy.
Wait a second. Not anymore because?
I just discovered this new app. It's called 3NDER. It's like Tinder, but for threesomes.
Jesus. You got to load that on
and
my
this
phone.
This happened in the last 5 minutes.
I'm going to give you my phone. You better put it on here immediately. That sounds exactly right. Wow. See? And how old is he? He's like...
21.
Young. 21.
Anything under 40 nowadays, young. You know?
Now, Elna, if people are worried, you said just now something interesting. Like, a lot of people are... They're nervous about not being normal.
Mm.
And whenever anything happens in that area, your pubic area... People get hysterical for no reason.
Mm.
Sometimes, what would you say is the right way to go? Because a lot of people will just leave things until it's terrible. Like you think, oh, well, you know, a little bit of a rash or something. I'll just leave it alone. And then like 2 months later, you've got some serious problems down there. What is a safe time to let elapse before you should start worrying about anything?
So let's
what are the real worrying factors? What should you be very careful of? I mean, let's give people useful advice here because it's all good and well to talk about sex and be shocking. There's got to be some straightforward, this is what you need to do.
Thank you. That's how I like to talk too. So let's just start with men. It's much actually easier for men because you can see, and also men inspect all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
All the
inspect
time.
For little critters jumping. It's pubic lice. We're busy eradicating that because of shaving.
Yes.
And for men also, if you shave your pubic area, it makes your genitals look much bigger. So it's like an old.
It's a good thing. So you would,
that's a
you
porn
would suggest,
trick.
But you would suggest that men should.
They should. They should also know if they're lymph glands. So if you're going to in your groin area, you have glands that sit there. And lymph glands, so if there's any infection, the glands will be up. Men also will have a discharge, which is much easier to see than women. Because we actually, you've got to put a lamp on your forehead and go into a strange position to see inside yourself. But whereas men can see.
It's all external.
So a discharge is a discharge. Semen is something else. So if it's thick and yellow, you asked for the information.
No, carry on. I'm going to try not to throw up. Carry on.
All right, so if there's a discharge, that's abnormal. But also blisters are abnormal.
Carry on.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness we do different jobs.
I'm going to throw up. Oh, yellow. Oh, it's disgusting. I'm so glad I've never had one of those.
I'm so glad you don't work in my office because you know what? You've got to put on straight face.
You know, if I had pubic lice, do you know that I would pour chlorine all over myself?
And light yourself.
I'd die in the shower. You'd never hear from me again. I wouldn't know how to deal with that.
No, but it's so easy to deal. You go and buy lice medication. That's an over-the-counter thing you can do. And you know what? Not everything is unattractive. The other thing with men, because yes. Now they start, they get dick obsessed, really, if you want to give it a name.
Okay.
And they look, and there's something called pearly papulae. I'm not wearing pearls
the
today.
That?
So pearly papulae are normal. They're on just normal variation. There's around the, if you look at the glands of the penis, there's tiny little spots. It looks like, and I'm not wearing my pearls today because I always wear pearls. Pearl necklace, which is another thing, but for now, let's just stick to pearly papulae.
All right.
Probably the biggest concern for men, they think they have genital warts when it's just a normal variation of the penis.
So we don't have to worry about that.
No, don't worry about that at all.
What about the balls?
So testicles are very, very important. And you need to, there's two of them. There should be two. If you've got one, the other one's missing. So we've got to, sometimes they do. They go up into, you've got to bring them down.
Ascending or descending.
And yes. So that's one of the things we start looking for when the baby's born.
You check
people
immediately.
People think, this is a pedophile pediatrician. No, it's not.
They have
just
to check.
Checking.
Sure.
So there has to be two. The one hangs slightly higher than the other one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one. I think my right one is lower.
All right. Well, that is really good information to have. Well, but it's important and many to check.
Since we're sharing.
And it's not abnormal. So the left one could be hanging more than the right one.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes one's larger than the other. Sometimes they're very large. So we need to look at, again, what's normal and what's abnormal. But when you feel inside, there's like thin spaghetti running there. Like if you feel. If you remember, you felt. Thin little spaghetti is called your vas deferens. And that is where the sperm is going to come along. Then if you move a bit downwards, you find the galulis interchange. You know, there's like things are just, that's the epididymis.
Yeah,
so it's just, I know.
It's
you understand.
It's a good comparison.
The galulis interchange.
Yeah. Well, you know how galulis interchange
goes. So if it feels like there's a whole lot of stuff going on, it's probably normal as well.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean you've got ball cancer.
No, not at all. But if you feel a little lump and it can be painless, it feels like a frozen pea. So it's like a tiny size and it sits on the testicles. Or if there's anything that's abnormal, please go ask somebody. Because usually if you ask your mother, she's going to say, well, what the hell were you doing down there in the first place? Anyway, don't touch it. Hands will fall off. Or you'll grow hairs on your palms. Did you?
No.
Let's just check everybody.
I mean, and trust me.
No.
If I don't have the hands with the hair on the palms. Trust me.
Look, me neither. Yeah, so we are allowed to touch our genitals. It's not a bad thing.
All right.
Now with women seem to read their life through their panty liners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is going on here today? Mm. And oh, you know, people will worry. What color? Now, just like you blow your nose and you just don't really inspect. And
uh-oh.
It's okay. Sorry, Kara.
Here it comes.
All right.
You asked me about normal and abnormal.
Carry on. Ignore me.
I can't. It's so difficult.
Ignore me.
Phone that dentist for the Botox. Then I can have a straight face. I can have no expression.
Yeah. I got you.
So we have a discharge. It shouldn't be yellow or green because that's really not normal. So discharges would be white, and at different stages of your cycle, it will be more than at times.
Okay.
This is hard for me, Gareth.
Mm-mm.
And there shouldn't be a smell that is it's like fish. A fishy smell, not good.
Not good.
Two things in life
what
smells like fish.
What must you do if you're a woman and you think you're smelly?
You need to go and see a doctor. You really need to because it's just not going to go away by itself.
Mm.
Also, at certain times, we do get infections that are not diseases. So just like a swimming pool, when the pH goes out, it turns green. Thank goodness we don't turn green. But you can get thrush. Thrush is similar to cottage cheese in the shelf.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what it looks like. In medicine, we relate everything to food. So thrush is a thick white discharge.
Sure.
And green. Green's
never a good
color.
I had enough of this conversation.
I'm really good.
Okay,
it.
You know what? I know you are. And thank goodness for people like you, but I don't need to hear everything. I hate to sound like a closed mind. No. I first need you to advise our own Marcel. She's going on a special date tonight.
Oh.
Marcel, come over here. Marcel's going on a special
date tonight.
Firstly,
we should tell her not to wear those pants.
Why? What's wrong with those pants?
I love those pants.
What? Tell us about those pants.
It's track pants. It's just lime green, like.
She's wearing bright lime green track pants.
I hurt my eyes.
Not for a first date. No, not to the date, but I just love that look for like now. It's she's in the office. It's
all right, Marcel.
Not a big deal.
Yes. You're going on a special date tonight.
I don't know why it's special. It's just a first date.
Put on your headphones, Elna. We need you to hear this. Otherwise, you can't hear Marcel. All right. So, is it just some dude?
Yeah, he came out to your restaurant on the weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
Good-looking guy?
He is. He's quite a hottie. Blue eyes, dark hair, very well-built.
All right.
Wait, what happened to the boyfriend who tried to save you when...
No, that's over.
Oh.
Where have you been, Leah?
You move quickly, hey?
Keep up.
All right. Now, what should Marcel prepare for tonight? This could go well. They could end up, going back to her place. What should she prepare for?
I'd just like to remind everyone, it's a first date. There's going to be none of that.
Oh, really? You set very high standards.
I do.
First date, not an option.
I need, like, flowers and wooing and a weekend away and, like...
All right. Well, it doesn't sound like we'll need you then, Elna.
All I can say is never say no to sex because you never know if it's going to be the last time. When you get to be as old as me, you're just grateful. I'm just like, can you eat with a knife and fork? I mean, my standards have gone right down, but you know, it's lovely. I mean, it's good to have standards. You know, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
You get McIntosh's hierarchy of men. In the bottom, there's a lot of men. You know, I saw now at the Shell Garage, they're sitting there one finger. So don't say they aren't men. But what do you want? You said you want good looking, must have a six-pack, an education, a car, employed, eat with knife and fork. That pyramid's just getting smaller. So at the top, there's very few of them.
Uh-huh.
Don't be so fussy. Go down. Socioeconomic
but not all the
ladder.
Way to the bottom.
Yeah, but I'm not going to settle. There's no settling here.
All right.
No, it's very good to have standard.
Well,
this chick, in the past, has he had sex with men, women, or both? That's always important to know because you
what's
might
the right answer there?
That's the first question. Get that one out early.
Tell me right up front. Before we even order starters.
Thanks for the flowers. Now, who have you banged?
So what is the right answer?
I actually think you shouldn't even go there. What was your grade one teacher's name? You know, when we start off, you need to know everything about these people.
Yeah,
but she's not settling, though, so do you think she needs to go that deep?
Okay, then stop saving yourself, because eventually you can't give it away. Again, it's like just, when you're going to 60, you're just grateful.
I'm thinking Marcel's conflicted here with her game plan.
What is the best way, says Pierre, for a man to shave? Veet burns like hell.
Well, why shave at all? Well, you know what? It's you know, TV
you
sometimes is boring.
You said just now that shaving is a good idea. Don't
well,
go back
on
what you said.
For some people, if you want to get rid of lice, of course, shave. Get it out the way. But for some women, it's nice. It's like, you know, your mother stroked your hair. Just stroke, feel, can work your way through the hair. You can see much better. In fact, it's easier if somebody's got hair because you can pretend to be playing and parting the hair and moving it this way. However, it's just so uncomfortable if you get a pubic hair in the back of your throat.
That's just not going to work.
So what will work well? I would suggest laser. Go and laser.
Really? A guy must go and laser. That's very
from the
painful,
back to the front. You know what pain? What is pain?
No, I know women are used to this.
Stick needles
kind of thing
in your face. That's pain.
Well, listen, we've got a bunch of questions here. Someone called Faith says, the last time I had sex is when I was 17, turning 18. I'm now 30. Is that normal?
I don't know what you're saving yourself for, Faith, but maybe it's okay.
Maybe
you're saving yourself for marriage.
Maybe she's just very nervous.
Maybe she was not a late bloomer.
Yeah.
Maybe you're too fussy. Maybe it's just that hierarchy I was talking about. Your standards are too high. Lower your standards. It's okay. If they can't eat with knives and forks, it's all right. Go with other people.
So you say, contrary to almost every bit of advice I've ever heard, you say lower your standards. Don't expect too much.
Well, she's asking. She's 30. Yeah. You know, by 35, your eggs are going to start, you know, do you want to be
atrophying,
a mother still? But you can buy sperm at the Sperm Bank of South Africa. Each one unique.
You know what, Faith? Just chill out. I think you're uptight about it, and that's probably part of the problem.
I think you just start with self-loving. Go to Lola Montez or what are the other shops in town? No, there's a strip down William Nickel. Sex stores. I mean, you live in the hooker triangle. I live in the sex store triangle. It's Where is it?
I'm in Forest.
Between William Nicol and Hyde Park and Jan Smuts Avenue.
That's the sex triangle?
That is the sex triangle. There's about 17 sex shops there.
Wow. But it's a big industry in this country.
No, but why? It's so specific
tell me about,
to Rainbow.
Tell me about the strippers. Do you get a lot of them asking you for things?
You know what? In my older age, I actually have stopped doing social work there. You know, never mind the 67 minutes. I think I've done 675,000 hours at the Grand and at the Ranch. I've stopped doing that. Though I do. It's tonight's the night. I eat there every Thursday night. I'm just too lazy to cook. But no, the food's fantastic.
Oh, no, I know.
Best sushi in town. And you know, they've got an ice cream
machine.
Aren't
we going there for lunch tomorrow? What's the story?
Who knows? Okay. Who knows?
Can you figure that out for us, please?
Maybe we should do it on a Thursday evening, because then Elna can just bring us along.
Yes, and right. You can go also with the Metro Police. They also eat there, you know?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It's good value for a lot of food. It's
very good.
With the strippers, because, you know, a lot of the perception is they end up there as a last resort. They're desperate and exploited. But do you find women who strip because they enjoy it and because the money is good?
Like, yeah, I was going to say exploited. I don't even earn that kind of money. And I've got 17 years of postgraduate education. I'm such a slow learner.
They earn good money, hey?
Yeah, and you know, I must tell you, if a man now back from Brazil tells me, I've been to Brazil, I want to know, how much did you pay that person? And then I will work out how much I'm going to charge you.
I think that's about right.
You've got to figure it out. Standard fee, medical aid rates, that's how you go. Do some women enjoy it? I think they do. A lot of women are exhibitionists. They're also very angry with their parents. They think, I'll get back at you now. You didn't want to send me to ballet classes? Well, look at me now. some women just like to take their clothes off. And then some women are really good at it. And I think the smartest stripper in this town is Gigi, who doesn't even strip anymore.
No, she owns the lollipop line.
And she won Survivor.
That's right.
She's at the Kaka in Car every year. She's got that play she performs. She's smart. Has she been here?
Yeah, I've interviewed her many times, but she must come over here again.
And you know what? She's never aged. And can you ask if she's had Botox? And I mean, she's just beautiful. And I just hate her for that, but I love her because she really is a classy lady, a sharp businesswoman, and education. Have you seen her play?
No, I haven't.
And G-Strings?
No, I've heard it's brilliant.
Amazing play and really educating women about men.
Well, listen, you educate people about each other, and I appreciate the fact that there are still frank and honest people like you who can cut to the chase around all the sex stuff. People are so uptight about it. I just really wish that we'd stop being uptight and just treat it like you do eating or sleeping or going to the loo.
No, it is that. And people always expect the worst to come out of my mouth when I don't swear. Have you ever heard me swear?
I've never heard you swear.
And I always, I don't speak dirty. You know, sometimes people come and ask me, can you teach me how to speak dirty?
You're the wrong person to ask.
So I think there's a big misconception about what we do when we actually have quite boring jobs, where we really just educate people about their bodies and try and help them with whatever disease they have.
I would like you, just before you go this morning, I know you're busy, but to just examine everyone in the building and just tell us who the highest risk candidate here is. That's all. And we can reveal the results tomorrow. Look at how nervous everyone is. No, I'm kidding. Don't.
Now, I've got the gloves. It's here.
Damon, did you bring the stirrups?
No, we just need to educate ourselves. Pap smears for women. And just, I think, I call it the B&B check, Preston Balls.
Right.
Really, every 30 days or 3,000 strokes, whichever comes first in your house.
Thank you very much. Elna McIntosh, clinical sexologist in our studio this morning, just to keep us, thinking. Because a lot of people don't think about this stuff. It just happens to them and they end up with really bad results. Just think. Don't be doff about it. Be sensible.